This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. I don't know when this character became Bruce Buffer, but the number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Sick, dude. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, first time guest from the Jam Space podcast, got Scott Rogers and Colton Dunn.
Oh, yeah.
Here we are.
Hell yeah.
Now, yeah. Here we are.
I do that and I'm fully tapped. I have no.
You look tired.
That was my day of energy. Man. I used it all. You guys have to carry it.
You're
from
on
here.
The floor right now.
It's like Jim in Cable Guy when he's doing karaoke and he's running on the floor. I fucking was obsessed with that movie.
It's a great movie.
It was there was a summer where it was on HBO every day, and that happened to be a summer before I had a job and after I had, like, when I had more, you know, time to myself, where my parents were sort of more hands off.
Yeah,
because me and my brother must have watched it 200 times. And
I think at the time he got paid more than anybody else had ever been paid to do a movie, to do that movie when it came out.
Good for him.
I remember Dumb and Dumber was also a big deal for him. He was like, I had this blank check for $20 million, and then he like envisioned his future, and then Dumb and Dumber, he made $20 million, and then that was the movie coming off of Dumb and Dumber.
Right, I think Cable Guy is like his like third big one, right?
And it didn't do as well.
It didn't do as well, but he got paid.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong that it came before Dumb and Dumber. I don't know.
I think it was after, because it was like his first, like, he's not fully silly. He's like a little dark in that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a thriller.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah.
It's the best.
Bingo,
movie.
My three sons. Jack Black is like the character he is in every movie in the 90s. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, boys, but I have new info. Every fucking movie.
That's a great movie because Ben Stiller directed, obviously, and then he played the twins.
He played like the Menendez brothers.
Guys. Yeah. Yeah.
They were speaking a foreign language. I think it was.
I'm pretty
Asian.
Sure they were Asian.
Yeah. The 911 they play the call. Recording yeah. call.
I'm pretty sure they're Asian.
I always remember after he got the prostitute for Broderick, before Matthew Broderick knows, and he has orange juice, and Broderick sits down and he goes, would you like some a juice? Just the way he says it, I always was very tickled by that.
There's a lot of like big swings on random words, and and Carrie always pulls that off. Me and my brothers always used, if we ever leave each other a voicemail, someone doesn't answer the phone, it's always like, duh, I was just blow drying my hair. I thought I heard the phone ring. Never happened to you. Call me. We'll talk about it. The last message on the run is, oh, shit. Yeah, he's like, all right, enough about Jim Carrey's Cable Guy. Thanks for coming out, guys. That's all we were going to talk
right.
about.
Cable Guy. This is Cable Guy.
This is Cable Guy re-Cable Guys.
Hell yeah.
Three
dude.
Dudes get together. We talk about Cable Guy every week.
And we never mention Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, no. It's completely a sustainable podcast idea. There's tons of ideas. No, I think space is an interesting topic currently because some new info has been dropping thanks to former Blink-182 guitarist Tom DeLonge.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting the fucking info. So your podcast, Jam Space, is space, freestyle, all that, a lot of stuff. When did you guys find out you were fans of like outer space or intrigued by it or interest? I mean, besides the obvious, we're boys who grew up in the 80s, like where.
Yeah, probably like Flight of the Navigator is where I was like, oh, yeah, space!
I'm going to space.
That's so
definitely.
Cool. I never knew that about
I'm good
you,
at
man.
Video games.
That movie specifically?
Yeah, I love that movie, man.
Because I had it on VHS taped off of TV. It was like a Sunday night Disney movie or something, right? And it was would try to cut the commercials out.
So oh, yeah. Like, yeah, you like hit record like, and then hit, yeah, know, yeah, and then yeah. be like, oh, I got the tightest
That's
version
a great
of
ass
it.
Movie. Sarah Jessica Parker's in that movie.
She is.
Holy shit. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
Yeah. I would watch that right
this
now.
This is Cable Guys. We're talking Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, we're getting a little off topic.
But, and then, like, intrigued by space, but then as you get older, it feels like you get terrified by it. Like, I've come like fully around where I'm like scared by the infinite.
So you wouldn't like go to space if they.
I would 100% would.
Oh, okay.
But the idea, like, my wife always says, like, she gets a headache if she starts thinking about outer space. She's like, how is it? how is it never ending? Like, exactly. How is it infinite? Like, oh, how? Yeah. She can't, like, process it, and she gets, like, all shit. Existential, right? Yeah.
Colton was definitely much more into space, aliens, and all that stuff, you know? When became friends, you were, that was a big thing for you.
Yeah, and Scott was really into music, and so that's why.
So essentially, our podcast, we were like, oh, then the first time we hung out, we said this before, but yeah, it's like the first time I moved into the house we used to live in, Camp Hollywood, we basically just got high and hung out, and it was like, who are you? What do you like? What do I like? Colton's like, I like outer space, and I was like, I play music, and I like music, and so it was as simple as that, and so that...
And we were like, in 12 years, we'll do a podcast about this.
Cool, so let's meet back up after we both have kids, and then really get into podcasting, finally.
Once podcasting's been invented.
Yeah. So we have to wait for the technology to catch up with
our idea.
We pitched it to Sirius XM, and they wouldn't have it, so we hung back until podcasting popped off. We waited, actually, until podcasts were dying
get back in there.
Aliens are fucking excited. Do you believe, Scott?
I believe, but I am someone who just kind of believes in stuff because I know that what's the real consequence. So I'm open to, I'm not really hanging my hat on any of it,
right?
But I'm super open to it. I want it to be real. And again, I like to trip out on the vastness of space. And of course, there's all these infinite possibilities and universes and all that stuff. So I think there's something out there for sure.
I think there is too. I believe that there's stuff out there. I just don't believe everyone that says they know something. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels so easy to lie about. It's like,
oh yeah,
the fact that
you don't have to back it up.
There's no Bigfoot footage. I mean, I know that cryptids are something completely different, but it's like, I don't say there's no such thing as Bigfoot. I don't say there's no such thing as aliens, but I can't imagine every guy person who's saying they're abducted has been abducted.
Yeah. Especially when it's like stuff where they'll be like, there's no other explanation for this except for aliens. You're like, well, are you sure about that?
It's also safe to say we might not know the explanation at this point. Yeah. Like, it can't be anything besides aliens, something I'm also fabricating. Yeah. It's like, oh, you can't imagine that it's another thing you don't fully understand, like static electricity can cause that or whatever.
Like on those ancient alien shows, that there's this one time where they had this guy who was looking at these like blocks that were made at some like ancient, you know, site, you know, that they uncovered. And he was like, there's no way they could have cut these blocks. You know, it had to be lasers. And then they like talk to this guy and he's like, no, we could make those blocks. I could do that.
The fucked up shit about ancient aliens is that the answer is it's slaves. Always. It's so fucked up. You want to be like, and how the aliens must have done the pyramids. It's like, nope, expendable cheap labor.
The aliens picked all this cotton.
The aliens built America.
The aliens made these railroads.
We're cackling about slavery. Whoops. But yeah, I find that shit to be like the ancient alien stuff is exciting with a possible like kind of what, like, I don't want to get too Joe Rogan here, but like the Graham Hancock, like Fingerprint of the God stuff. Are you familiar with that at all? That guy fucking can really get you going with some like pop pseudoscience. Where he's like, the measurements of the pyramids are the same measurements at Chichen Itza. How did they do that? You know, and you're like, you're right. It has to be aliens.
Yeah, they did it.
Not something else that we just don't know about at this
point. No.
But now we're seeing more and more UFOs, allegedly, which doesn't necessarily mean aliens. As we know, UFOs just mean could be a government spaceship, a Russian spaceship, a Chinese aircraft.
Unidentified.
Or yeah. But it's still something exciting. It feels like all the negative shit that we're finding out about the government and all that stuff, like because of our insane current leaders and shit.
What do you mean?
Is Obama still the president? I haven't checked. Not my president.
Obama still got it, right?
But the I can't imagine that we're not going to see some. If there is a positive, it would be like, how has he not slipped up about aliens yet?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure there's no way they would have told this dude about aliens. Absolutely no way. They'd be like, all right, we're not telling.
Do you think Obama got to see like an alien body?
I bet they'd show Obama an alien body, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, you got to check this out, dude.
Wasn't there, like, didn't, like, Jackie Gleason say they showed, weren't, isn't there, like, a legend that they showed?
That they took Jackie Gleason to see an alien body?
I feel like that.
I do feel like I did hear a story about that.
I can't be, like, Nixon showed him the body.
Well,
like,
he was a big star at a time, I guess. People were just like, dude, we got to show Gleason this.
Well, if we're going to show anybody, we got to show Gleason. If we're going to tell the Secretary of Defense, we should tell Gleason.
That's so funny.
I'm obsessed with the idea that we just, there's so little we know about that there's got to be so much cool shit happening. Or is it sort of like I'm hoping that superheroes are real? Like, is it sort of like I'm praying that this is true so that the world is bigger than we really think it is? Or is it toast? Are we all fucking rapidly atrophying and heading entropy into a fucking awful situation?
Yeah, I don't know. Could be all of the above.
Could be all of the above. I feel like aliens might be the thing that saves Earth.
Maybe.
Like, if they attacked us, like, we would all be like, well, fuck bombing Iran. Let's
work.
Are
you talking about Independence Day?
I just watched it, so it's fresh in my mind. But it is, like, there literally is a sequence where, like, Belgian Air Force people are talking to, like, Iraqi Air Force. It's like such a 90s movie where it's like, all right, Iraq,
let's work together.
It's the Americans. They are using Morse code.
But that's so human to go, okay, the way the world's going to find peace is if we all go to war
together.
We all
got to fight together.
Right, the only way to find peace is to find a bigger war.
Yeah, I think if the hopes with all that alien stuff, where my mind goes, is definitely like they're advanced beyond our shit. And so they've figured out how to equally disperse things through the mind and everyone's okay. And there's like a peaceful way. They don't think in this animalistic survival.
Right.
Terms.
They're not coming to take like every movie would have us it's believe. Like, they're not coming to take over. They're just exploring like, hey, you guys, we got this thing that cures cells that multiply too fast,
exactly.
Which I think you guys call cancer here. We can help you with that.
It's,
you know?
It's like Jack Nicholson's monologue in Easy Rider. You ever seen Easy Rider?
Yeah, but I can't quote his monologue.
They've been coming here since scientists started bouncing radar beams off the moon in the 60s. And he basically goes on and on about they're able to feed, clothe, and house all of their people without effort easily, you know, and it goes on and on, just sort of like, and the powers that be, they won't let us know about this because it would cause a general panic and the people in charge, you know, it's that all that shit. But
there is an element to like, that's,
I believe it.
The best conspiracies have the background that there's a reason we don't know about it. Right. Yeah. Like the strongest conspiracies go like, well, we can't actually tell them that Bush did 9/11, because if that comes out, then we'll never trust the government again or whatever.
Sure.
So it's like they have like their own defense system built in where you can't say like, well, show me proof of aliens. It's like, well, we can't. You guys will go crazy.
Everybody go crazy. Like, oh. Sorry.
Yeah. No, trust me. My girlfriend lives in Canada.
who is that guy, Colton, you brought up on the show before one of our episodes? The guy who... he did like the X-Files poster. He was the one who it was it was like a picture of a
The picture of the woman. That's Billy Meyer.
You ever heard of this guy?
Is that the fire in the sky guy?
No. That's Walton. Billy Meyer is this European dude who's got one arm, who like says that he'd take pictures of aliens and shit and like their spaceships, and like a lot of the pictures like that you see is like the, you know, like
the standard
ones are like photos that he took. But then, at one point he's like, they let me on the ship and I took a picture of this alien woman. And he had this picture, and then somebody found that it was just like a picture of a woman on a TV show, and they found the TV show.
And he just like, that's always the best when like a news organization is like protests in China, and it's like, that's actually footage from the movie The Perfect Storm. And they're like,
But then his defense was, okay, you're right, it's fake, but because I can't show you the real one. They won't let me show you the real one. So yeah, you got me, but it's because if I did show you the real one, it would cause...
You guys all go fucking
crazy.
These
aliens, they're beautiful. They look like they all look like TV stars. Yeah, it's huge. It's Sofia Vergara. She's an alien. Looks just like the lady from Modern Family. Al Bundy's wife. I just saw a documentary. I have a friend who's one of my... buds I go to the beach with and like is a stoner buddy of mine. You can jump back to the Tyler Haynes episode of High and Mighty, listeners. He's a real alien head, and he he showed me Curse of the Skinwalker Ranch, a documentary about the Skinwalker Ranch, which is allegedly the number one hotbed of alien or unexplained phenomena.
Yeah.
And I watch it and I was like, it's one guy who's like interpreted it a certain way. And it's like, if you just, it's like someone can convince you their house is haunted by telling you a cool story, whether you see anything or not. And it feels so weird, but I want to believe so bad. So I can imagine that on the other side of me is a spectrum of people who are, yes, I believe, like, instantly. And then just like help gain the momentum that makes it feel like it's real.
I used to be there too. I used to be like, it's true. It's gotta be true. And then, you know, as I got older and stuff, and I guess probably was not like high a lot, then like I started not being like, oh yeah, that's definitely true. So there's this one documentary.
Took 6 months off weed, and I was like, what am I thinking? Like,
what the fuck? You're my life back.
I gotta quit comedy.
What am I doing?
You're like, I don't like French fries. Like all these amazing things is part of your life.
But they used to have these things. They'll still show them sometimes, and then paranormal people have it too. They call them like orbs, for UFO people, it'll sometimes be these things that like zoom really fast past the lens, and people like slow it down and like be looking at this thing. They're like, if you just set up a camera somewhere, you'll catch these things, and it's like they're bugs. What you're seeing is mosquitoes flying in front of the screen.
Or
just dust floating if it's like these orbs.
Yeah, but even a satellite or Elon Musk launch rocket, it's gonna be
a satellite or something like that. But the things where you're just like the shortest distance 2 points makes so much more sense than like 500 alien ships shooting all over the place. and just tons of orb ghosts floating around your house.
Yeah, I mean, like, TV signals get wonky. Your phone cuts out. Cameras overexposed in weird ways.
For sure.
Yet instantly, it's always like, it's got to be aliens. There's no way the technology that is this wild computer that's this big, it didn't fuck up. It can only be aliens.
Has to be the aliens.
Or ghosts. I feel like that happens too. It's,
yeah.
Look at this image and or this sound or this energy in a house. It's a fucking ghost.
I'm less ghosts than I am aliens. Like, ghosts, I believe in.
You believe in ghosts?
No.
He's less ghosts.
Okay.
Of a believer.
This is pretty much simple, plain English. I'm less ghosts.
So you have more ghosts.
I'm more aliens.
I'm more aliens than ghosts, boys.
Okay.
That's the worst Tinder profile. More aliens than ghosts. And it's the movies I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Like, James Cameron rules, fuck Patrick Swayze.
That was my question.
I'm less of a believer in ghosts.
Yeah, I don't believe in ghosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's, I don't, until we fully understand what happens when we die, it feels crazy to even have such strong, everyone has a different idea of what happens when you die. That's too crazy. Someone's right and 99.9% of people are wrong.
But Colton, I think that's interesting because I feel like you are, I don't know what your beliefs are, you're an atheist maybe, right?
Yeah.
Yet a believer in aliens, I find that kind of interesting.
Sure.
I guess it makes sense.
An atheist believing in aliens makes more sense than an atheist believing in ghosts. Because I'm an atheist who also believes in aliens.
I get that. I just find it fascinating that it's like, definitely no God.
There's no higher power, unless of course it is.
There are a little alien.
You're like, but did they come here and fuck with our ape DNA to create the human race as an experiment for their highly evolved societies?
Yep. Yeah, something I think is possible.
That shit. When you like start to pull out and imagine that we're just like that. That's that fucking. It's a psychological issue if you start to like think that all you're doing is the simulation, and we're like the Matrix, and someone's running this as a lifelong.
Well, there's a lot of weird shit. Like, so you know, like the way our noses are shaped. Other apes don't have noses shaped like us. And one of the things they think is it might be that we were like water apes at some point.
Yeah. And that's why our fingers wrinkle.
When we swim, if you threw an ape in the water and had him swim, like all this water would be going in his fucking nose, but not in our nose. We also have like a thin layer of fat between our skin and inside that insulates you when you're in the water.
And so your heart rate and temperature could still be regulated when you jump, when we jump into the water, which can't happen for apes.
And that's why they say when your fingers get wet, you get pruney, because it actually is for gripping when you're underneath the water. You're like, you go into swimming mode.
Yeah.
That shit, I love the idea of that. It makes a lot of sense for me personally.
So we could be like dolphin apes, like maybe a dolphin and an ape like fucked or something.
Dude, one time I was...
There's only one way to find out. Colton, Gabrus, and Scott thrown out of the zoo again. This time it'll work. We got to bring enough Spanish fly to get this ape super horny. Where do you even find Spanish fly? Is that even? That's just a thing I remember hearing about when I was.
I know Cosby used to talk about Spanish fly.
My man Bill Cosby, I used to go to for all my Spanish fly material.
Yeah, Spanish fly really distanced themselves from Cosby after that video.
If only there were some clues. Oh yeah, Cosby used to talk about that date rape drug all the time. We never thought anything of it. That shit always drives me crazy where people are like up in arms about Michael Jackson right now. Like it took the documentary for you to go like, yeah, you know, maybe. It's like, guys, I thought it was like common knowledge 20 years ago that he, like, no, he's just a weirdo that hangs out in trees and with kids. You're like, no, fuck that. He's probably seen aliens, Michael Jackson. I feel like that's what's upsetting
about.
You
think somebody showed an alien to Michael Jackson?
I think you can get rich enough and just get access to shit eventually. You know, sure. I feel like they're like, if Michael Jackson sees aliens, he's willing to donate $250,000 to the SETI project or whatever. That's like a dream job. I watched Independence Day and it opens with like the SETI guy, the search for extraterrestrial life or
intelligence.
Yeah. And he's just like sitting there and you're just waiting for something to beep. That's so exciting.
Yeah. So that Contact also is another one that's all about SETI.
I fucking love that movie.
Yeah.
Contact is awesome.
Written by Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I want to get more into Sagan. I just read an awesome article he wrote that like under a pseudonym about being pro marijuana.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wrote this like amazing article as like under a fake name because he was like at the height of his popularity, but he wrote like this really interesting take on marijuana and how he, you know, it was like belying the criminality of it and saying like, I enjoy music more. I find myself making more scientific connections and stuff. And I was like, hell yeah, Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
But were you a fan of his? Cosmos?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cosmos is my jam.
Yeah. I used to watch that shit, but now making me want to rewatch it. Just talking about it.
Yeah. I'm definitely getting more into Sagan. Doing the podcast, it was more Colton's thing. You know, but I've like really dove
Scott's
in.
Scott's really into it now.
Scott's really pissed that this episode isn't about the drums. brought
all these drums.
Where should I set
drums
up? Dude, we're talking aliens.
Really
that's kind of Colton's thing.
I had this hour-long dissertation on the history of drumming through tribal history.
Drums.
Which brings us to the timpani.
Ding, ding, ding.
No, but what I'm saying is like, I've jumped in and gotten super into it and also found the crossovers between like a lot of musicians have a lot of alien stories and they've been abducted, et cetera. But also, just getting into all that shit. Carl Sagan, like he's so dope and was in charge of the Voyager Gold record, you know, all the recordings that they sent out. And that's the furthest thing that we've sent into space and all these cool greetings. And, you know, what I was saying before about like them being more advanced and not being into war and shit, because like that's where he was coming from for sure. It's like people were worried that we were sending pictures of naked bodies and so they'd know how to kill us. But he was like, that's how we think, man. You know, like they're out there. We're trying to say hello, you know.
Yeah, but then Stephen Hawking was like, they might. There's also a chance that they'll just come and just take all our shit and fucking kill us.
Sure.
Carl Sagan like tips Hawking over. that'll be in the Celebrity Deathmatch reboot for sure.
Yeah. If they're hanging out right now, then both of them were fucking morons because neither one of them believed in afterlife. So.
Oh right. The ultimate curse is that they're forced to argue about aliens in heaven, and Jesus is there going, "Oh, you want to talk about aliens? Huh?
Okay, now it's about the aliens. All right."
It's actually this whole Christian thing. You are right.
Steven's walking around. Carl's in a wheelchair. He's like, I can do whatever I want here. It's me. It's my spot. Heaven. That's like a positive outlook that the highest form of evolution, if we're assuming aliens are more advanced than us, it's a wonderful belief to say, like, they're so advanced that they're post-war, that they're post-murder, post-imperialism. And that just says something about, like, a positive outlook on civilization, where it's like, no, the ultimate goal is Earth working complete, everyone on Earth working together, not warring with each other, which I guess is, you know, that's a belief system. You can decide which one is truly better. Yeah. But objectively, not having war is better for Earth as a whole. Maybe having war is better for, if resources are limited, for Americans to be the ones that get to take over, or Chinese, whoever.
Overpopulation.
Yeah, like maybe war is good for some reasons, but I love the idea that, no, if you truly had all the info and were so advanced, you would know that it's not worth it. Like everyone, like in Avengers, this is so different, but Avengers Endgame, like Thanos snaps because the world has limited resources and he gets rid of half the people.
Yeah.
And Ben Rogers one time was like, why not snap your fingers and double the resources? Like, yeah, if you have unlimited power,
you can do whatever you want. It's
like, just make more food instead. And you're like, oh, wait, what?
Shit. Whoops.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those things, like maybe when you become so advanced, there's no need for war because it's like we're fighting over oil. It's like, well, we have unlimited energy coming from via blank or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's hard not to think like... And I think that every time we think about aliens, we think about it from such a small, myopic, our own version of like, oh, aliens, they would come and like we would be able to fight. Like it might even be like aliens might be like a Wi-Fi signal. Like I don't even, you know, fully understand.
Oh, I see. Yeah, like we don't even know what kind of form an alien
takes.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily have like organic biomatter or something like that. Sure. It could just be like, do you know aliens are actually like... We can find them the same way we find Bluetooth signals or something. Yeah. It's like, oh, or the aliens are here. They're all communicating with each other. We just have no idea.
It could be robots, you know, like some fucking maybe some alien race invented robots and then they all died off and the robots were just around and
right.
learned how to build more robots and now they're flying around and they could not even give
a
fuck.
Yeah, it started as Roombas and now they have like fully functioning like Jude Law and AI type character. A friend of mine says one of the big theories is hybrids, is that aliens impregnate people or probe people.
Yeah,
or
that's a lot of the people who have been abducted. What they'll report a lot is that if they can remember stuff from the ship, some of them will see and meet hybrids between aliens and humans.
Yeah, and they're like always gorgeous.
They kind of look like that picture you have up there, that little kid with the big eyes.
Cyborgs? Is that a cyborg?
I have a
painting. Cyborg would be like half machine, half human. A hybrid is like the alien. So say like the gray aliens, that alien you think with like the big eyes. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, taking, you know, reproductive matter from.
Right. Yeah, they're taking comet.
Yeah, they're taking like comet.
The idea that they're the most advanced technology, the most advanced civilization. They're just here. We got to get to Earth, get more cum, baby. We need more cum. They're using it like coal.
Reproductive matter, for God's sakes.
Shoveling cum into like
stop
a big
calling it.
Yeah, well, they say like, and then that's what they'll point to like a lot of like young actresses and be like, they're beautiful, but they have like these big eyes and they're skinny and shit. And like people will be like, that's because they're hybrid. And then of course they get the ability to, because they're hybrids, have the ability to like woo humanity. And next thing you know,
I never heard this one.
Elle Fanning is winning awards.
I never heard the one that the starlets are the product. We got to make famous people.
You heard it here first.
Well, like, because then they get people disseminated all throughout culture. You know what I mean? And if they're people who have the advanced power of having half alien,
some
light mind control. Immunity to cocaine so they can hang out.
They can just have so much. Wait, are you just talking about what you wish was the ultimate goal?
I want a fucking alien. I keep sending my cum to NASA. Saving jars. Yeah. Tiff's like, empty the fridge.
Yeah, no. JPL.
Dearest JPL, here's another sample if you need it. What are we doing here? The fucking, that JPL shit, hearing about, like, what was the thing we had? Kepler 138 or something like that for a little while. We had, like, a satellite that had gone further than anything's ever gone before, and then we just, like, lost its signal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that's just fucking exciting. Even if that just means it is behind something or whatever. It's just wild to imagine that.
It's just like
that's how far it is.
It's like so far away, and we were able to track it for so long, so far. Like, holy shit, this is as unimaginably far. Oh shit, it's gone. What does that mean?
Yeah, where is it?
What, where is it?
You mean like that regular ass plane that just fucking disappeared?
Yo,
wait, what? Oh, I don't know this.
Yeah, they like lost track of the plane. Of
whatever, that plane that disappeared.
The Malaysian.
Oh, you talking
right?
about the Malaysian plane? Oh yeah.
Well, what's that up plane with crashed. That? That's not even like all the way out there. Yeah, we fucking lost just, that shit.
That feels fucking crazy. Also, I no digs against Malaysia. I've never been there, but I will never fly Air Malaysia.
Absolutely not. Well, they had like two horrible things. Right, they had that, and then the other one got one of their planes got shot by a missile over Russia. Just got blown up.
That's insane. Like to run that risk. I mean, that's fucking that's like the world now.
It's but they're terrible. Still going at it as an airline. Malaysia still.
No, I think they rebranded. I think they renamed themselves.
They call themselves Delta now.
Oh, fuck you, Delta.
Pick that.
Shots fired, Delta.
Please sponsor the podcast, Delta. or Malaysia Airlines. Anyone, really. Daddy needs a fucking couple of bucks here. Trying to have an alien hybrid child is expensive. Daycare for a hybrid is through the roof these days.
Oh, I'm sure.
This cocaine immunity is, it's I'm really not sure why
cost.
That was the goal.
You got costs a lot.
Let me do all this cocaine yet not feel the effects.
I love you guys are at a party with me. You're like, I'm pretty sure Gabrus isn't immune to it. Like he thinks he is.
He's had four heart attacks at this party.
Talking like 100 miles an hour. You want to call my mom? Let's call my fucking mom. No, I'm immune to cocaine. What? It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't affect me at all.
I love calling your mom. I'm going to call my mom. Okay, yeah, let's call my mom.
It's like your buddy who's like, I'm not even stoned. And you're like, you haven't spoke. That's the first thing you said in 25 minutes. It's okay if you're high. We're trying. Always your friend. You're like, we're trying to get high, dude. It's okay if you.
Just let it be.
When you were like 15 and drinking, you're like, I'm not even fucked up at all.
I'm drunk. I know.
Go home and like convince your, you're like, there's no way my parents know I'm wasted. And alien abductions, speaking of getting wasted, there's always like a clause that makes them less believable, right? Like aliens always abduct people who are living in wide open areas, always alone or solitary. And then also like it's always involved with like drinking or lack loss of memory and stuff. And it's always a crackpot person that like everyone else is like, why would you believe this guy?
Yeah, it's tough to believe a lot of the people.
But then you flip all that around and that's if the aliens are very smart, then they're abducting the right people.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
if they want to keep it a secret.
You're trying to say Sammy Hagar is a crackpot person?
Did he say he was abducted?
Hell yeah, bro.
Oh yeah.
When he was younger and he was like 15, 16.
That's amazing. If you meet an alien hybrid, it's like
they were like, "Let's get out of here."
This is half Sammy Hagar, half alien. I don't have time for this shit.
That's what his tequila brand is.
Wobble wobble. It's for the fucking grays, man. Yeah. That's wild. I never heard that. That's fucking awesome.
I mean, there's a bunch of musicians. You just fucking Google. Musicians who've been abducted, and there's just a ton of them.
What let's talk about why is that? Anecdotally, why do we think that musicians have been abducted, or why do musicians think they have been abducted? Because I think the quick answer anyone will say is like drug use. You know?
Drugs. They probably have open minds.
Into
sort of alternative things already. Yep. Open to an alternative lifestyle.
Right.
And
they
reality.
Travel a lot, so they're around in different places. Like they're not
traveling.
Just
they're in. They fit the quota of they're in wide open spaces.
Yeah, they're on a
they drink, you know, they right? maybe like pass out somewhere, you know, and then you're ready.
Weirdly enough, I casually mentioned earlier, but Tom DeLonge Tom DeLonge, I don't know.
DeLonge.
He's like truly getting like information released, right? Like he's gone like full in.
Freedom of Information Act stuff.
Yeah,
stuff like
I think
yeah.
he's like helping like release release information.
He has a show, yeah.
Yeah.
Unidentified. It's on History Channel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I've been talking so much about Tom DeLonge more than I ever thought I would in my life since we started doing this.
Talk about him a lot in eighth grade and then again when you're 40. Yeah,
he is back in my life in a big way.
Yeah, next up I hear Offspring is getting into
oh, geez.
You mean all these bands from my
Noodles and Dexter from Offspring? Well, hey, my mom worked
gotta
at,
keep them separated.
Yeah. My mom worked at the bank with Noodles' mom.
Oh, really?
Because they're an Orange County band. And so she was like, yeah, my son is the guitar player in the punk band called Offspring.
Really? And his mom was still working at the bank?
Hell yeah.
Damn, she's committed.
Damn, that must have been before Ignition hit the charts. Is that the name of their first album? I feel like that's
I want to say Smash.
Oh, it's Smash.
No, right. Maybe Ignition was like, I think the one that had Keep 'Em Separated was Smash.
You're right.
Had the skeletons on it.
It had
that was a big year, 94. It was Dookie, Smash.
That song.
The Blue Album by Weezer.
These were like, those were like my three favorite albums when I was 12 in 94.
Doesn't Weezer have a new album coming out?
They just put one out a little bit ago.
They just keep dropping albums, dude. They've done the thing where they've switched the Overton window of their own, of how you feel about their music, where now like the Green Album and Maladroit are like good again. We were like,
right.
Wow, you made 8 worse albums than those.
We thought you dropped off, but there's levels to
it's
this.
It's not your 10th worst album.
So their job is just making their older stuff better. That's
right.
What
they just keep going, like, oh, wait, we'll put something out and you'll love this album in 10 years when you see the kind of garbage we're capable of. Oh, yeah, you're going to love season one of my show, because after season one, it goes downhill.
Downhill.
Well, we've accidentally made season one so great.
Rivers Cuomo has this whole thing where he says he found this like formula for songwriting. I feel like this was something that was going around probably 10 years ago that he was like, he found the pop song formula.
Oh,
it's a secret thing. And it was like, but these are the songs that have come out of that formula.
Yeah, I think we need to get the formula back in the lab.
You can keep it.
The only single he's had pop in the last 15 years is a cover. So if the formula is doing Toto songs, that's a pretty good formula.
Yeah.
Next up is Rosanna.
It's a drag, to be like, oh, that second album you guys put out, that album is a fucking masterpiece. And then it didn't sell right away. You know, it's their cable guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a little darker. It's their but it's like refined and fucking tight.
I love
it's
Pinkerton.
It's a classic. It's the best.
Yeah. But if you loved Blue Album, the Pinkerton comes out, you're like, what is this? And then those came out at the perfect years for me, where it was like, Blue Album came out when I was 12, and then like Pinkerton came out when I was like 14 or 15. And I was like,
did you like it right away?
Yeah. I like aged into it, where I was getting over the Blue Album when that new, and then I was like, then they took forever off and then came back with the Green Album.
Pinkerton went by me. Like Blue was so big.
What was on the Pinkerton album? I don't really know.
The Good Life was probably their number one.
Yeah. I think
single.
The first single was El Scorcho.
Goddamn you was, have Japanese girls. Yeah. Do it to me
God
every time.
Goddamn you. Half Japanese girls.
I don't know.
Yeah, no song.
I don't know that song.
No song from Pinkerton sounds like a Blue Album song. Like
By the way, was ever really on the radio. And so if you're sort of a casual tuner in to Weezer,
right,
you probably don't know any of the songs. Yeah, but
I feel like don't they have a song about Pushing Daisies or something?
They have Pink. Pushing Daisies was a TV
make them
show.
Come
right?
up, push them
no, that's
daisies.
Ween.
Oh, that's Ween.
That's
oh, okay.
Ween.
Push
yeah,
the little daisies and make them
yeah,
come
yeah,
up.
Okay, that's all, okay.
Oh, fuck, dude. Ween. There's a band I got like into way late in life. Someone got me the White Pepper album when I was like 20 something.
Ween's pretty radical.
Fucking, you hear the song Bananas and Blow, and then you become like a fan. It's like a tropical, like Kokomo type song where it's like, living off bananas and blow. And you're like, this is the most wild song ever. What is this band like? And then every other song is completely different. You're like, holy shit, they're doing something weird.
Yeah, they're a wild band.
Okay, well, I like those guys. I always thought those guys were Weezer.
That's completely reasonable.
Sure.
So, how's Noodle's mom doing these days?
I gotta ask my mom. I haven't asked.
Coked up. Gotta call my mom.
But I did see a picture of them or them Offspring playing recently, because they're still at it.
That's wild.
Boy, they're old.
Yeah, I saw Weezer played at like a Father John Misty fundraiser.
Years ago.
Like Rivers Cuomo was there, and it was like they were playing an acoustic set, and it was really weird because I'm like, I think he's 50 now. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So fucking wild.
Just looks weird.
It does look weird. Especially, like, you're so used to them like in Buddy Holly mode, and then you see him older and like sadder.
Yeah. Like, I remember, I think I might have even sent you a picture of it when he came on, but they put I don't even know why he was on the news, but for some reason they were talking to the bassist from Nirvana on the news one day.
Mm-hmm. Novoselic.
Yeah, and like they're like, so now we're joined with the bassist of Nirvana, and he like popped on, and I was like, oh my god, like he's it looked like some fucking just random old dude.
Yeah,
and I think I'm pretty sure I took a picture. I sent it to you. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, the rock and roll life catches up to you.
Like, oh yeah, it catches you and fucking body slams you into the ground.
It's not sustainable. There used to be this when I lived in Brooklyn. There was this dude who lived in our neighborhood who was always walking around with his dog. Never worked, but he seemed like a weird, like drug addict type of grungy guy. So me and my wife would always just like be like, this guy must be some sort of weird artist or something. He lives in like a weird small apartment. And then one day we're watching a documentary. I think it's called Push, about those two bands. No, it's about Black Rebel Motorcycle Club and something else. Dig is the name of the documentary. Dig, it's about two bands at the same time. Yeah, it's not Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
It's the Dandy Warhols and the Brian Jonestown Experience.
Yes, exactly. That's a great movie. That's a great doc. And then one of the people they're interviewing is my neighbor, and he's Gibby Haynes, the lead singer of Butthole Surfers.
Oh, Gibby Haynes, dude. I did fucking Reno 911 with Gibby Haynes.
What?
They cut the episode. It didn't come out, but Chad Carter and I were in a weed store, and I came in to buy weed at this weed store, and the cops were there, and the pharmacist was Gibby Haynes. He's tight with all them. I think
he's done monologues
a bunch of
at ASCAT since, and but he was just this dude in my neighborhood, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh my god, of course everyone knows one Butthole Surfer song, and holy shit, that's the dude. He like lives in our neighborhood. Holy shit. It's like a huge celebrity.
He was chill.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
I bet he believes in aliens.
You ever been to Oklahoma City?
No, I've been to
Tulsa.
You know,
Flaming Lips?
Yeah.
For some reason, Butthole Surfers made me think of Flaming Lips, because if you go to Oklahoma City, you ever been there, Colton?
Yeah, I've been there.
It's kind of like their town. They have a huge warehouse that's their space. It's
right, they have like a studio slash
It's like a
24-hour
art exhibit space. There's a street that's Flaming Lips Street. But I've been out there a couple times, and I talked to
that's
people.
It's such a weird place for them because it's a very conservative area.
Yeah. But I guess just because that guy Wayne pops up in all kind of stuff too. You know, he's on like Portlandia, or like he just shows up in odd.
They're interesting people.
And they're alien-esque vibes too.
Yeah. I feel like all the music I'm into is very much, I mean,
yeah.
I think it's because of weed. Yeah. Why is weed, like the things that weed makes me like are all circle aliens for some reason, where it's like, I love space and sci-fi movies and synthy music and all this shit. And I'm like, light shows and the things I keep describing, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
do I only like aliens because I'm a stoner?
Fucking, yeah,
I keep like looking to my around my studio, which has paraphernalia visibly everywhere. Yeah.
So like, what are some of your favorite musicians and bands off the top of your head in that realm or whatever?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of like, this is crazy, like Vangelis, and like they did like the Blade Runner soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Tangerine Dream.
Okay.
John Carpenter, even though he's like a movie director, his score stuff.
Yeah, he's
and
got cool
his
music.
Recent albums are really cool. I just love that like synthy sort of like 80s, and it's kind
of, so do you like vaporwave?
Yeah, that's sort of back now, right?
Hell yeah,
yeah. I'm into it. Like the band The Midnight, I think, is in that circle. And I finally, I keep searching Spotify for playlists that play synthy and I finally found it, and one was labeled Vaporwave.
Yeah.
And I had seen it, and I always thought it was like a joke name for something, you know, like a weird internet meme name, but it's that's like a genre of music.
Yeah. That's something that I looked into. It's and part of why you think it's a meme is there's a whole kind of meme style that's Vaporwave, where it's like this collage-y 80s Tron meets
Scott Gardner's show Moonbeam City emulated I forget that famous artist, but that's like a style,
it's that whole vibe, and because you know chill wave, like the soundtrack to theme song to Portlandia, chill wave then leads into vaporwave. Chill wave is more beach and tropical aesthetic, and vaporwave pulls from 80s and 90s
like
movies,
sci-fi,
synth stuff,
yeah,
samples, and it's like has it'll like slow down dialogue from
the
movies.
The dude who does the music for Drive, that was like
Kavinsky.
Kavinsky is a good.
Yeah, his shit's tight. That song when it kicks in and Drive is like
it's fucking awesome. Yeah.
So tight.
Yeah, because I was big into. When all my friends were into ska and punk in like the early 90s, I got into, as a reaction against ska and punk, which I didn't like, I got into like Chemical Brothers and Fatboy Slim and Orbital and Aphex Twin and like DJ Shadow and like the 90s big beat scene.
Yeah.
And then that kind of, I think, kept in my brain alongside being a big movie fan. Kept like my taste riding all the way. While I always loved hip hop and even like indie rock and pop and shit.
What was that one DJ Shadow album?
Introducing.
That was so big. Yeah.
Yeah. Introducing. Yeah,
and I listened to that the other day, and I used to listen to that all the time. I worked at a video store in New York, and I'd always put it on, and like I listened to it in my headphones when I was walking there. And I put it on the other day. I mean, and don't get me wrong, it's good. It's still good. But I was just like, this is boring.
Every song is 4 minutes longer than you remember them.
Yeah.
Right.
Or maybe our attention span has completely changed because I tried to play Organ Donor for Tiff for my wife the other day, which is my favorite DJ Shadow song.
Yeah.
And I was like looking at the versions of it on Spotify and I'm like, this one's 8 minutes. And I'm like, there's gotta be a different one. And I'm like, finally find one. I'm like, this isn't even as good as I remember it. Fuck. That's the worst thing about being old is when something.
Yeah.
Like rewatching something that meant so much to you, and you're like,
and you were like, "This was great. This is awesome." Oh no, this is not great.
Oh shit, is everything I ever liked actually garbage?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, when it's in that spot of, oh, this is when I knew I had taste.
Right. Yeah.
This is when I thought I was a cut above here. Like I have some refined taste. DJ Shadow, etc.
Go back and listen to it, and it's like, what is this? Shit?
Yeah, but that happened. But that song that he did with. Run the Jewels, that song is sick, dude.
Oh, yes.
Nobody, what is that song called? Nobody.
Nobody Move, Nobody Gets Choked. Shit. Yeah.
That video is dope as hell, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a great video. That's great. Yeah.
They just used that song at the end of
Booksmart. They're using it in fucking movies, like not just Booksmart.
Yeah.
It was for previews and stuff.
It's a great trailer song.
New George Clooney movie had that in there where it was just like, what? They're using this beat for that?
I feel like they do that. Whatever the trailer people are, where it's like they'll use the same song for fucking 10 movie trailers. It's this is the feel right now.
Right, and that's the vibe right now. Like
John Wick.
The famous one like for the last like 5 years or couple years has been slowed down versions of classical songs. Or classic, not classical. Like the joke was any one of these.
Wouldn't it be nice to see?
And it's like a dainty female voice or something like that. Yeah.
Or it's like, it's like super slowed and pitched up.
Wow.
Listen, all y'all, it's Sabaton.
Not even that old. Just
Oh man, that's a bummer, man. We never get to see those guys in concert again.
Oh, fuck,
no new music.
Well, dude, they're doing this like two. It's Spike Jonze directed a stage show where it's two guys doing a one man show about the Beastie Boys. It's Ad Rock and Mike D. They have like a live show where it's talking about their life and experience.
Oh fuck, I would gladly go see that.
They were doing it in Brooklyn.
Oh, I will gladly
go
see that.
They might go on tour, but
I hope they do it out here.
Or it'll eventually, like everything, will end up on Netflix and be like a flat, boring version.
Yeah, because I think it just was 25 years of,
ill
communication.
Yeah. Fuck, dude.
I
went
back to
Beastie Boys.
They should
have done that out here. They recorded that in Atwater.
Yeah.
That's fucking, the Beastie Boys, I did get to see them at Nassau Coliseum at once, which was my home.
Do you know when, like what era?
It would have been, I think it was, they opened with, it was probably the Hello Nasty tour, because Intergalactic is off Hello Nasty, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was, they opened with Intergalactic.
Check Your Head.
Oh, awesome.
I saw him later. I saw two of the Five Boroughs.
Oh, yeah.
But that was a dope tour, because it was just the three of them. They had matching Adidas sweatsuits on. it was in 2004 because they were doing, George Farrell had done all these Bush infomercial things for them in between and before the song Talib Kweli opened, who was always one of my favorites. And then they came out and did an hour of just straight hip hop, you know, and it was mixed master mic on these huge speakers, turntables, and then the stage spun and like turned around, and then it was a full band. Then they came out as full band in these like powder blue tuxedos, did another hour of like Sabotage and you know, all those songs, and Check Your Head songs, the funk songs. And then it spun around again and they did it again and they just kept going.
Oh, that's it was awesome. That's so badass.
It was so great. It was when I lived in Long Beach.
Great. They're still so great.
I got to ride my bike there. It was in Long Beach Arena. So I got to like get high, drink some beers, and ride my bike.
And then
lock my bike up outside the arena and fucking walk in. It was a fucking dream. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, me and my brothers went. People climbed over the hockey boards because it was the Islanders play at Nassau, used to play at Nassau Coliseum, and people climbed over the boards to get into the pit. And it was crazy. Like, people were falling like 12 feet down. Ooh, I get it. Yeah, we're going. Did the Beastie Boys tour with Rage at one point too? I feel like they were on a double bill together at some point.
I don't know. I think Wu-Tang Clan toured with Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. Oh, that was their big tour.
That's a great fucking.
That's what their documentary it covers a lot of.
Oh, of Mics and Men?
Yeah.
That recent one? That's a great name for a doc, by the way.
It's so good. I haven't seen it. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Oh, I saw Wu-Tang at Lollapalooza in 94.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Wu-Tang, then Metallica were the two headliners. Yeah. It was fucking awesome.
I feel like that was in the MTV news a lot, was Wu-Tang on Lollapalooza. It was like they couldn't keep track of everybody, you know, like people were like gone for some shows.
I will say, it was my first, not my first, but I didn't realize like old man racism went to music too. Where like I was sitting in a section with a group of people who were there to see Metallica because they were like 35-year-old white dudes in jeans and like light color jeans and dark color t-shirts. And then they were like mad that Wu-Tang was on. And I'm like 14. I'm like, this is one of the biggest fucking groups ever. To me, it's like, in my head, it's like, oh, because of MTV, I'm like, Wu-Tang and Metallica are just two big bands. Like, I'm not even thinking that. I'm like, a 35-year-old metalhead, this is not for them. And then you throw a dose of racism on top of that. And you're like, oh, fuck, man. People were like, fuck you, like giving the finger to Wu-Tang. I'm like, this is the coolest ass shit. Also, Shaolin monks performed actual Kung Fu as one of the slots on that show. It was like the Shaolin monks of America like did a Kung Fu demonstration, and you know that was Wu-Tang forced that.
Oh, of course.
That's so gangster.
RZA was like, here's the deal. We'll come on the tour.
But you gotta let these Shaolin monks
I was such a fan of Wu-Tang as a kid and Kung Fu movies, and like never, like until like figured out that crisscross, I was like, oh my God, these guys are even cooler.
They're into that.
When you hear like your idol or like someone you're a huge fan of mention someone else you're a huge fan of. Yeah. Now you feel the reverse of it with podcasting, where I'm like, yeah, I love Sean Clements and Hayes Davenport, and people tweet at me like, it's crazy, I listen to Gabriel's podcast and he listens to a podcast I listen to, and it's like, yeah, okay, and it's a way lower stakes version of finding out Wu-Tang's into Kung Fu movies.
No, it's the same, dude.
I don't even have good taste. It's another podcast.
Dude, this is equal level right here, dog. You're just in it, so you can't tell the difference. But
have you ever had an alien-like experience? Do you have anything that you could like even retroactively go, maybe that was aliens? I've had some shit that happened that feels like it could be ghosts. But then you also, as we learn more and more about the human brain, we learn that it's capable of completely fooling you at times.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the scary thing too, is like we're just eventually learn that aliens is just everyone's brains being slowly broken.
It's Alzheimer's.
It's lead paint.
Well, I attribute most of that, I think, panic attacks and moments of lucidity, I think, happen. And then again, like any fucking religion, alien, ghost, anything, the human brain has to go, what's the definition of this and what is this, when it's like, we don't know, dude. And it's just, that's the answer, is there is no fucking answer, but it feels like an alien experience. And so I equate it to that.
And you see the crazy people walking around and they're like talking to voices in their head that they're,
yeah. from their point of view, they're really experiencing.
And I hear they're not hella going. Voices myself.
Do you?
Well, obviously I do. We all do.
Right.
I wake up, my head's like, this sucks.
I hear voices too, but I think the voices I hear, I can pinpoint to that it is actually me.
Yeah.
Doing other voice. You know what I mean? Like, I have like the connection to myself where I'm like, you are fabricating thing you're hearing.
So wait, you'll hear a voice in your head, like something talking to you?
No, but you'll feel like compelled to think something that you wouldn't normally.
Sure. I'll do that. Yeah.
I don't actually, I'm sorry. I should back it off. I don't hear voices, but I can feel myself being guided in my brain by like negatively by me.
Yeah.
When I'm like, no, this is all of your creation. This
like
is
when you're up on a tall building and you're like, I could jump off this building. And you're like, what the fuck? Yeah, why would I think about that?
Who made me think that? And it's like, you did. Yeah. I did? Who are you talking to? Yeah. All of a sudden you're like, oh, I now understand everyone on the Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah. But no, I've never had an alien like experience.
Yeah. I mean, either, you know, well, they also say like near death experiences could be misconstrued as like aliens and ghosts and stuff because. That drug DMT, the spirit molecule, is actually naturally occurring in the brain.
Yeah, it gets released when you die.
It gets released when you die to help protect you from how insane dying is or whatever. And so near-death experiences could trigger that, and then that makes you feel like you've been abducted. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's the wild shit is like abduction stories that have a lot of the same parallels, but are explained away like also in... lucid dreaming and in this and when you think you're dying and when you
or
do
would you hear people who took that drug they're like yeah man all of a sudden these people showed up and were like hey come with us
there was
and
a bright so, light and I saw my family it's like always like that's there's a reason people who are, like the bright light thing is in pop culture it's because it's something that must happen to the brain
sure
and then it's like weird dying aliens drugs ghosts they all have like a bright light centrally located and you're like can't
you know that drug also occurs when you're born?
Oh yeah,
makes sense.
When you're born, your body also shoots it out. So in a way, this could all just be the trip. Your life could be the trip from this drug.
Hell yeah. That's wild. We're just being born directly into like a jack, and we're just then dreaming all this.
Hell yeah.
That Matrix shit is like some real like
shit could be real.
I love when people buy into it too much. Like the simulation is real, man. But there is so much weird shit, and where you're like just enough unexplained shit makes you feel like that you're playing on a broken map in a video game or something like that.
Well, it's, you know, it's like you said, you're like your wife. It's like, so wait, then space just goes on. Yeah,
right.
It just kind of goes on. Well, then maybe somebody just made this and they're looking inside to see what's going to happen inside of this.
Right.
Thing.
And it's like, and we've seen the end of space. It's like, well, no, you can't. It's we can't.
Well, and they're like, you know, they'll be like, it's expanding or no, it's getting smaller or it's just, we don't know.
Yeah. What the fuck is going on? What's up with space, bro?
circle right back to the very beginning. So anyway, what is going on with space?
Guys, that's our time. We never get to it. That's our time. Glad we hashed out Ween versus Weezer.
Well, that shit broke my brain when I remember being 5 or 6 years old, sitting in my bed, looking at my ceiling and going, the concept of space going on forever, I couldn't deal with. I was like, at some point there has to be ground.
Yeah.
Like it's in the sky, but it's ground. Like I couldn't fathom.
You've got to run into something else.
Yeah.
And that's just such a interesting, like it's because we're standing on a ground that we know we got to assume everyone else is like, there's no way someone else exists without being on another ground, which is such a wild. Oh, it's so
good. Dude, I love
it. I'm getting like the feeling right now a little bit where it's like someone out there there's something out there having a conversation. I'm wondering about us, which is the most wild way to like break that down where it's like, there's something way the fuck out there going. So you hear these things about like earthlings and shit.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, this is a good sign.
Perfect time.
You know what? They can never hear this. As you're noticing now, I'm not wearing headphones. I have no idea how podcasting works. Well, I'll book you guys over. Yeah, my landscapers usually come at 3:30, so why don't you guys come over at 3?
Got to be later than that.
No, it's like 4-ish. But we can wrap it up here, guys. Let's I think that's landscapers queuing.
Yeah.
I think two weed whackers being operated right outside my open windows is a sign. So talk. Let's plug Jam Space a little bit here. Get it wherever.
Yeah. So
we're like in a fucking factory.
Yeah, right. But yeah, Jam Space, fun podcast. We put out new shows every Monday. We talk about aliens, we talk about space, we talk about music, and then we also freestyle rap over beats that either we've created or people have sent us.
Oh, dope.
We've had some pretty cool guests too.
Yeah, we got great guests. We got more guests coming up. Next one we're doing, we got a whole new batch we're doing. My buddy Utkarsh Ambudkar, who you and me tested. You remember when we did Wrecked?
That's where I really met you and talked.
Not that we have to talk about that, but I met him there. But he's this amazing freestyle rapper. Yeah. He's about to be on
the INC.
He's about to be on Broadway doing a 16-week run with his buddy.
Oh, I know that guy. He was in a hip hop group with Lin-Manuel Miranda before In the Heights.
That's right. I know this guy.
That's who's doing a 16-week run.
Oh, so
run.
I know him.
Freestyle
Love Supremo. I know this guy. Yeah, I did battle rap shows with him.
Right. Yeah, I was about to say they were coming around the same time. They were bigger in New York before you left. Like, because I kind of came into UCB after you left. We missed each other at UCB New York. You would just come back and be like, everyone would be like, that's Colton. He's the funniest guy from.
Damn Skippy.
And he still is.
But then, that's all just to say,
it's like we freestyle rap. We fucking make up other genres. You know, we've been doing soft rock songs. Our buddy Alex Burke is on the keyboards. He engineers the show and produces it.
Yeah, we've had musicians on. We've had comedians on.
Jake Trout, fucking Jerry Minor. Seth Morris was on.
Drop
Brandon
a Vaporwave
Johnson,
album, dude.
Heather Campbell.
We talk about Vaporwave on there.
Yeah, it's a good time. And we're honestly just getting going. We're hitting about 10 episodes out now. We're just really
this will probably come out in a couple of weeks, so great. Even more get on there.
So then you can check us out on there or check us out
Apple
on Patreon,
Podcast, Spotify. Yeah, and we're gonna get our Patreon moving and do little bonus freestyles and episodes.
Check out Voyage of the Stars on Earwolf. I mean, I don't know how much of an uptick Superstore is going to see from a podcast vlog.
Hey, guys, check out Superstore Thursdays, 8/7 Central on NBC.
America Ferrera. And Colton Dunn.
Scott being like, hey, can we plug the podcast when we're on there? And you're like, let me plug my network sitcom. The one that needs way less help advertising.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing the grassroots effort. I'm doing the pods.
Just trying to say, let them know. Let them know.
NBC's like, thank you, Colton.
We heard you on a couple pods.
See what
do
we
you
need?
Do High and Mighty? Perfect. We got those Long Island-based mouth breathers tuning in to Superstore.
Wait, these guys stop. Let's go another 45 minutes. Colton, what we need to do is get you to mention Jam Space on Superstore.
Right, for real.
Then we'll be cooking.
Actually, that'll be easy to pull in.
You're going to start shooting another season. I'm going to talk to some people.
If you did manage to get that, it would be humiliating how little of an uptick it really would have. Right. Now, you would be like, I bent myself over backwards. I affected my relationship with all the producers just to plug your podcast.
I'm listening.
You get five new listeners. You're like, fuck.
Yeah. They're not going to be like, oh, I'll stop watching NBC comedy. Right.
I like Superstore, so I know I'll definitely like this other venture, which is completely different. Do you guys want to plug social media or anything if people want to reach out, ask you questions about aliens or
we have Jam Space social media, which is at Jam Space Pod on Instagram and Twitter. You just look up me if you want to hit me up, Scott Rogers, RODGERS. You look at my name, you're going to see all kind of stuff.
Yeah, Google me, baby. Colton Dunn, ColtonDunn.
Capped Dop. Oh, no, you have, because you have
Dope. Capped Dope. CAPTDOPE on Instagram and Twitter.
You were allowed to keep that? You didn't have to switch your name?
I haven't had to change it, but I just say that dope means cool and everybody's cool with it.
I'm Captain Dope. I speak at elementary schools.
Captain Dope
means cool. Well, thanks so much, guys, for doing High and Mighty. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check it out. And remember, the truth is out there.
Boo, 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 boo.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.